integrity. Will you please help me open this meeting with a moment of silence for the still suffering addicts, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Can we please have the following reading? We do recover at the podium, please.
Hi, I'm a grateful addict. My name's Karen. When at the end of the roads we find that we can no longer function as a human beings, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on the best as we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts have ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has been made, proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks. Okay. At this point, we're going to introduce our speakers. And the first speaker is from Indiana. Sunday Survivors Group, Narcotics Anonymous, in the Laurel Mountain area of Narcotics Anonymous. And why I'm so confused about that is that I truly believe he's a home group member of mine. And I'm in Niasna. So with nothing further, I give you Bill.
How you doing, everybody? My name is Bill. I'm an addict. A nervous addict. I'd like to thank Drew and the committee for asking me to speak. Because, you know, the day that he asked me to speak, and I really believe that speaking is working the third step. You know, if somebody asked me to speak, it's God's will for me to do that. And I told him no. And I was in a really bad space that day, but I called him back about 3 hours later, because I don't know what it is. I guess it's God, but something always hits me and says, you know what, you need to do something to snap out of whatever you're in. And I thought, maybe this was it. Till I get riding down here and thinking, oh man, you got to speak today. I haven't for a while, but I guess the topic is we're entirely ready to have God remove all our defects of character and with that surrender. And I really believe you got to have a lot of surrender just to work the sixth step, to even take that on. For me it was, that's for sure. I'm on my second time around on this step. Actually, I'm on this step right now. I worked it the first time, but I don't know if I worked it or it worked me the first time. I remember doing my fifth step, and I did my fifth step with a pastor, and taking my fourth step and burning it. And then my sponsor telling me, after that, you're on the sixth step. Well, read them out of the books. I'm like clueless. You know, what do you mean sixth step? And, you know, entirely ready. And I just couldn't get my head around it. So he said, I kept calling him and saying, is this what it's about? Is this what it's about? And he kept saying, no, you're way off track. So thank God they made a step guide. And I said, can I do this out of the step guide? And he said, yeah. I said, because I'm really not understanding a lot. So I'm doing this step out of the step guide, and one of the first things I thought of is becoming entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Well, I'll just stop doing these things. All these defects of character I have,
I'll just stop doing them. Well, let me tell you, that didn't work real well. The more I tried to stop doing them, the more they seemed to show up. You know, that was like kind of like banging my head against the wall. That went on for a while, and I went through a bit of pain, thinking that I was going to remove my own defects of character. I don't know that I actually thought that, but that's the way it really worked out to. But I went further, and I went further in the guide, and thought about it for a while, and it was God that needs to remove these defects of character. I went and I checked out the spiritual principles. One of them absolutely being willingness, a willingness to change. That I really had to have. I had read that the more willingness I had to change, you know, the more I wanted to work this step, the more willingness I had to change, the better this would work. When I went into defects of character, I went into seven deadly sins. Anger, greed, lust, envy, gluttony. I'm probably forgetting a couple. One of them was self-pity. I couldn't figure out where that fit in. I couldn't figure out where that fit in until a few months ago, and I think that fits into envy. I think self-pity actually fits into envy. But, you know, I looked at those defects of character. In trying to remove them myself, I guess I found out that I was powerless over these defects of character, that there was nothing I could do about it, that it was like my using. It was just like using. I had to take each defect of character and say, I'm powerless over this. You know, I've got to turn this over to God and have God remove these. And somehow I get enough faith and trust that He could and actually would do this. I really believe that these defects of character are probably related to, just like when I was using, a restoration to sanity. Because the more I do them, the more I act on them, the less sanity I have. First of all, I needed to become aware of what they were doing, what they were doing in my life, and really what was behind them. And I looked at each one of them, and behind each one of them I found fear. Most of the time it was fear that I wasn't getting enough of something or somebody was taking something away from me. I stayed on those for a while, became aware of what they were doing in my life. Well, I had all kind of stuff running through my head about this. I've discussed this stuff like a bunch of times. But you know what? When I get in front of a crowd of people, my head goes numb. I think being entirely ready is becoming aware, having enough faith and trust in God that He can remove these, and sometimes a lot of pain. When the pain gets too great, you know what? That's when I change. Boy, I'm just like at a loss right now because I am just like really nervous. to me, the sixth step was like really, really, really important because it wasn't like the fourth step when I was looking at things in the past. This was looking at what I was doing now, today. the things I was doing today. Right now, I think I have a list of, I don't know, maybe 32 things now, 32 defects that I have. I want to try to look at, instead of looking at defects, I want to try to live by spiritual principles. And I look what my life would be without acting on these defects. Even though I intellectually know it, every time I act on one, there's some kind of consequence coming. It's just like using. You know what? When I use, there's a consequence coming. When I act on a deep character defect, there's a consequence coming. No matter how small. Sometimes there's defects I don't want to give up because they're like old friends, like a part of me that I just don't want to let go of. But the step calls for me to be entirely ready to let go of all these defects of characters, and all of them decisively, you know, without reservation, just letting them go. I'm going to have to deal with that now, too. I was talking to another addict before the meeting, and there are, you know, some of my defects had character, you know. I'm a character, and I have defects. One of the things that I find when I looked at them and I looked at myself, one of the pamphlets that we have is self-acceptance. And, boy, you know what? When I came into recovery, I was like, that's what I want right now. Right now. Give me some self-acceptance. And that did not come quickly. That really did not come quickly. It wasn't until, and I have to confess, this was not while I was doing my first six step that this came. That I could give myself the luxury of being human. That I was human. That I did make mistakes. And it was okay as long as I didn't keep making the same mistakes. And it talks about that paving the way, because I was real critical, you know. I mean, I'm critical of me. I'm trying to be less and less judgmental and less critical. I'm critical of me, and you know what? If I'm doing this, you should be doing it too. You know, that's the way I looked at things. Until things came along, and I realized that I was human, and I made mistakes, and you guys were human, and you made mistakes too. And that at least paved the way for me not to be as judgmental about other people. These defects get in the way of, I used for a very long time, I think I became calloused when I was out there, and hardened, you know, and the defects were, you know, a way of getting by when I was out there. But I don't really need them anymore. I don't need to do that anymore. What they're taking away from me now is, actually, I believe, is love. You know, and compassion for other people. I really don't want that today. I don't want to live my life like that today. One of the things of being entirely ready is to change my behavior. One of the things about the sixth step I couldn't understand was, like, this is a partnership. This is definitely a partnership. This is me doing, you know, some things. You know, this is about, you know, and these defects, when I'm trying to come out of them, you know, it talks about action and prayer. And I had to do a lot of praying and a lot of saying the seven-step prayer. We're not on the seven-step, we're on the six-step. But, you know, some of the actions I had to take and that got me closer to you guys was when I would act on these defects, I'd talk about it. I'd work the second step and talk about them. And you know, when I would do that, that would help a lot because I got a lot of good suggestions from the old timers. I got a lot of empathy from, you know, people that I knew, and I really needed that. And man, if there's one thing that I find out, I cannot do this alone, you know. I mean, I need all you guys, and I need you guys to help me with that, some of the actions. But there's only one force going to remove these defects, just one, and that's God. That I definitely realize. I take the faith and trust that I find in the first step, or the third step, excuse me, and the surrender. I need to surrender my defects over to God, just as I did my addiction and my drug use. There's a lot of commitment. If I don't stay after this, you know, my sponsor told me, you'll be okay, we're, you know, talking about the sixth step, because you never came off it, you know? You never came off of it. You know, you've been acting on this stuff for a long time, you know, so it's like you'll be able to talk about it. But, I guess that's true, you know. Once I started working this step, I won't pretend to know a tenth of what this step is about. It's just what I've found, you know, through working it and through talking to other people about it. Like I say, I think it's really important. Man, if I want my life to be better, I really have to do something about it, and I really have to stay committed to this. You know, and when I have that need to work the sixth step, I really need to do it, not just ignore it. There's been times where I've worked it. There's been times when I've ignored it, although someone the other day, who I respect a lot, told me that he didn't ignore it completely. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to working this step again. And it talks about if you want any lasting change, this is where you're going to find it. I don't know. I'm grateful to be here, and I guess that's all I have.
Okay. Our next speaker is going to do the tradition, and I'm not familiar with him. I should. His face is familiar. But his name is Edgar. And you know what? I can say this much. You know, in line with unity is we probably are a lot alike. Because he did something that I would have did. You know, like come up here and like announce that I was here. And so that's like real good. You know, so I kind of clicked with him right away. And with nothing further, I give you Edgar.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed, and I'm an addict. Up here grandstanding again for a little bit. My home group is the same as Bill's, Indiana, Sunday Survivors. Yes, I signed up again. And I am a member of the Laurel Mountain Highland area. And before I get too far into what I wanted to talk about, I want you to know, all of you to know right now, that right now I'm an angry addict. I'm carrying a lot of anger. So some of the things I say are what I believe, and they might come out harsh. I'm not here to degrade anybody. I'm not here to make anybody lesser than anybody else. I'm just going to tell you how I feel, and normally when I speak, and I tell this to everybody that I sponsor or whatever, I speak about what's in front of me, top of my head. I don't dig. I'm not going to dig for anything. I'm going to tell you what's up, you know. And hopefully, you'll get a little bit out of it. I know you all came to hear about the sixth step, because how many people here know the sixth tradition, you know? Well, let me tell you something about the sixth tradition right off the bat. The sixth tradition, addicts can die just like they can from not working the steps. Sixth tradition is very kind of like political almost, I call it, you know. But I think that, you know what, I'm sure probably addicts have died from not knowing this tradition and being guided the wrong way, you know. The tradition states that we will not endorse, finance, lend the NNA to any related facilities, list money, property, and prestige diverted from my primary purpose. Well, what is our primary purpose? And we do that. And what we do with that is, okay, let's just start with at the beginning, I guess. Affiliation. You know, a lot of us came here through rehabs and came here through halfway houses, recovery houses, whatever it might be. Now, this tradition talks to us about how we don't want to affiliate with them. We don't want them to use our name in Narcotics Anonymous to better themselves. Come to my rehab because we are connected to Narcotics Anonymous. That's an endorsement. That's what we don't want to do, you know. Well, and see, this is kind of, this is the anger part I get sometimes. How many people know people in rehabs, recovery houses, that are addicts? That should know better than to do this, you know? They should know better than to do this, you know? Oh, but before I forget, thanks, Bill, for sharing. It was a good message, thank you. But like, you know, I don't understand sometimes, you know? We have to learn so much stuff when we come in here. It's all about change, right? We change everything we do in our past lives. We forget. Does anybody remember what the August 27th, Just for Today reading was? You know, it was about taking care of ourselves and not being self-destructive, you know? And we are self-destructive in many ways. All the time, continuously. Continuously self-destructive. So, when we come in, we want to learn change, right? So, we go to a rehab, we get our introduction to what recovery is supposed to be like. But I think it's not. They set some parameters for us to start our way into recovery. Because there are some few people out there that are textbook knowledgeable only about drug use, about NA, about feelings, you know, they get it out of a book, you know. This is home, right here. Where we're all sitting here, this is our home. We found a way to live here. And by, well, not coming to meetings, possibly doing what your counselor says, go to that outpatient thing after, you know, after you get done with your rehab, and you go to one of the facilities where they take your money, you know, or they take the state's money. I don't know. Some people got their little card that says, you know, free pass, you know. That's okay. But in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is where we learn to live. We learn about each other. We learn what's going on, you know. And it, as you start learning, obviously you start growing. And then as you start growing, you start changing. Well, this is the T-shirt from the first one right here, the very first one. It wasn't even a retreat. It was a picnic. A couple people had ideas to try to get unity involved in our lives. It did not mean that you had to come there and pay to be there. You know, it was financed by the area of Laurel Mount. Well, actually, Cambria, Somerset, whatever it was, a long time ago. And it was a picnic, and we sold T-shirts and stuff to cover the cost, and that was it. We didn't care about where or what, you know, who you were. You did not have to leave if you came. If you came, you stayed, because we wanted you there, because we believed that the message of Narcotics Anonymous can be carried from one person to another, exactly like I said, from one person to another. We share our dreams, we share our illnesses, we share our anger, we share our hate, we share our love, you know. I was just thinking about this a couple days ago. This is not going to have to do with anything, you know, but I was thinking about getting high. I got 23 years clean. I was thinking about getting high 2 weeks ago. And I found, I started dissecting why I felt like this. And I couldn't figure it out. And then finally I got to the point where I said, well, there's only two things in my life that make me want to get high. One was love, and the other one's anger. And that's what it is for me. And I was one angry son of a bitch, let me tell you. I was just angry. But talk to me about that later. We gather here. And I want to say this because Bill reminded me on the way up on the phone. We were talking on the way up. Actually, we didn't even know we were going to be sharing together. We thought we were going to be in different areas. But, like, I chaired the retreat last year. And one thing I remember, didn't remember, Bill reminded me, that I said was, this is not about money, this is not about property, and this is not about prestige, you know. We didn't have a raffle. We didn't have anything to give away. I told everybody at the main speaker that the only reason that these people are here working for me, because they have selfless service. They didn't care. Nobody was recognized. Nobody was, nothing was done, you know. You don't need to drag these things out. We're, you know, like, you go to a speaker, you sit there like 2 hours before the speaker. And then you start getting like, come on, where's the speaker, you know? But, like, that's what I believe. I'm old school, man, big time. You know, I've been around a long time. I've done a lot of things. I've helped a lot of people, I hope. You know, I've carried some messages here, I've carried some messages there. About 1% of them have probably been right. But, you know, there's certain things about Narcotics Anonymous that affect me in a big way. And that's when you just can't find recovery. You gotta look for other things first. And, you know, and that's where prestige might come in, you know, or property or something, you know. We need to keep a focus on what we want. We want a bunch of addicts to get together and have fun, you know. My opinion, that soda should be free. You know? The people before these people generated funds for the purpose of renting this facility. That's all. You know? That's all. You know, we got one of the best things going, I think. This retreat is like, you know, this is something for me, you know, because I remember. I remember being here after everybody was gone, picking up cigarette butts and doing stuff so we could come back, you know? I'm not saying I lowered myself to any special level. I'm just saying I did what I had to do to keep Narcotics Anonymous open for us, you know. We didn't tip them when we were done, you know. We didn't ask them to do anything for us. You know, we got a record up here that's just wonderful. They love us here. They really do. And they take care of us really well, you know. They really do. And if you see Charlie, give him a hug because he's number one in our books anyway. So, like... So here we are, you know. We can't endorse Narcotics Anonymous with other places. You know, we pay our own way in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, because I actually experienced this at one time, probably about my third year clean. We had a church, and we were only paying $5 a month, you know, which is pretty standard in a lot of places, you know. They wanted us to come in and help us, help them paint the church, you know. We says, well, we'll raise the rent to 10, you know, because we're not doing it. But we don't want to be thrown out of this facility either, you know. So we stuck to our guns. You know, a long time ago when I was learning this stuff, you know, I was like a little sponge, you know. And I just absorbed it all. And as it all came about, you know, it opened my eyes to a lot of things, you know, a lot of things. You know, I mean, there's steps that say, you know, spiritual, not religious, you know. We all know what that's about, you know. I was one of the ones that went to the World Service Office and tried to get that Lord's Prayer dropped to the Serenity Prayer. Everybody in Pittsburgh was against us. and there was only four of us. But you know what the rule is now? God, grant me the serenity. You know? Things happen when you believe in them. You got to believe, though. You know, you just can't wish it to make it happen, you know? I mean, the road to recovery is all about expectations. We have expectations, you know. We want to do this when I get clean. I've had some of my sponsors write me lists, and one guy even says, you know, told me, you know, I got to get up and feed my dog, you know, things like that, you know. Why can't you just do that? He's hungry, you know. He's probably going to want to eat in the morning or something. So while we grow, we learn. And when we learn, we respect. And as we respect, we become a better person. We probably are all good people. There's a lot of good in everybody here, you know. There really is. But some of us can't find it, you know. I mean, that could be a character defect, you know. Instead of looking all around you, how about looking in the mirror and looking in a little bit, you know. All right, we have to have certain things to make our fellowship run. They have conventions. They have, like this here, retreats, you know. Hopefully they do the right thing with the money. I know that in my area, I can speak for all our money that we make goes to our hotline, H&I, and then whatever we don't use, we pass up to the next lower level, which is the region. Remember your things. It goes in reverse. The addict is the most important. Then the group. Then the area. Then your region. I've called the world many times asking for advice because I just wouldn't believe that what I thought was right. And they're helpful. You know? They're helpful. Now, this is really muddy over here. What'd you do, Bill? I can't tell you that having raffles at conventions and retreats is bad, you know. It just seems to me that it's a little bit out there, you know. I don't like dances at retreats. I don't know why. I guess there just wasn't any recovery in doing that shit, you know. Maybe there was, so I don't know. That's easy to find out later in the night, you know, when you hit your tent, you know. But like, you know, it's so important that we keep a focus on what we have to do, and that's carry a message. And like it was said, it's a message of hope, a promise of freedom, you know. I didn't get freedom for a long time, you know. And then every now and then I'm held hostage. I'm a hostage right now. Like I said, I'm angry. I have some problems going on in my life that have, you know, totally drawn me away from my spiritual principles. But you know what? Like Bill said, not totally, you know. I have enough sanity still in my life that I could say, don't act out. Don't act out, you know. And that's what the getting high part was about, when I felt like getting high, you know. You know, I sat at a meeting and said I felt like getting high. I haven't done that for 15 years, you know. So what does that tell you? You know, that disease does not go away. We're trapped, we're cornered, we're stuck, and we just have to try to get through it. And sometimes getting through it is just the only thing you can think about, you know, just getting through that moment, you know. And I'm just like, really, I'm talking about myself because I probably need to, you know? That's probably why I'm doing this, you know? I could cry if I wanted to right now, but I ain't gonna, you know? I've been crying so damn much lately, it's just been, you know, I don't think I got a tear left in me. But, you know, my friends I've talked to a lot of people and gotten to where I need to be. At least stable anyway. I'll never be where I want to be. But one thing, though, you know, my issue does deal with money, and so that's, you know, diverting me from my primary purpose right there, you know. It really is. But, you know, I'm just glad you all stayed for a couple more minutes just to hear me out here, you know. Because the more people I tell and the more I share, probably the better I'll feel, you know. If I was just telling this to two people, I probably would be done by now. So, I don't know what else to say about this tradition. I just know that addicts die because sometimes, you know, a mixed message, that's the word I'm looking for, a mixed message. You know, these counselors, they got to deal with two addictions most of the time. The other fellowship and our fellowship. And I'll bet, I'm sure in Indiana County that 90% of the people get diverted to the other fellowship more than they do to Narcotics Anonymous. Because you know what they say about, you know what the people in AA say about Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm not going to say it, but you all know it. I'm sure you do. If you want to know it, just ask me later. That was funny. And when you start getting that message, I always ask the people I sponsor, what side of the fence are you sitting on? You know, are you on the NA side or the other fellowship side? Because we can't start working until we know what you believe in. And if somebody else is telling you to believe in something else, maybe you ought to take a look at that person and ask them what their problem is, you know? I mean, we have the freedom of choice today. And, you know, when I first got clean, I had to go to Alcoholics Anonymous because there wasn't Narcotics Anonymous. And that was a long time ago, huh? Think about that. You know, just think about when you guys come in the rooms and some of you didn't know that there was NA around. Bigger cities had them, 2-3 groups, you know. So our message was, you know, kind of lost there a little bit. But now, what are we? Billion strong or something? I don't know. That's a big number, but, you know. We're strong now. And what I'm telling you today about this tradition is something that you really, really, you know, you really got to accept. I mean, you know, there's so many things that we want to do right, but we're blinded by things that want to make us look good. There you go. And I know that looking good is great, but being right feels better. It really does. I know that we've clawed our way all the way up to this place here where we all sit here today to try to get, come here and get something to take back, you know. And some of us just come and sit around and seek serenity, you know, and that's okay. But the message is here, I believe every one of them is really strong and powerful, and they can help us along the way. You know, we got this vault in our heads where we put all this information in. We don't take nothing out until we need it. Sometimes we don't take it out until we absolutely need it. Until we're like, you know, close to getting high or you know, total chaos in our lives. But it's always good to know that that vault's always there and you know the combination. Because this information that we share amongst each other is vital. Maybe not for me that much anymore. But just think, there's somebody going to be born today. Today, this very day, it's going to end up an addict. And our structure has to stay complete. So that addict has a place to come. And with the grace of God, my higher power, there'll be somebody here to take them in by their hand, you know. You know, I believe in a lot of things, you know. And there's a lot. So I had an issue when I got here. I had the walkie-talkies for the last year's retreat, and they were at my house. I've been looking for them for a month, and I couldn't find them. And I was just like crazy about it. So I had to come up here and speak to the committee and tell them that I have to replace them because I can't find them, you know. And, you know, that's something I, you know, believe, try to do anyway. when I get up here, I see the vice chair holding a walkie-talkie. I go, where'd you get that? She goes, oh, I don't know, it was given to me by the chair. It was in the box. I guess I must have packed it up like half a year ago or longer and totally forgot. And so now I don't have to make amends. I'm kind of happy about that one because right now I don't have $45 to buy a new pair. So, you know, I would have, though. You know, I would have found it. I would have got it right, made it right. So just remember all these traditions, no attic turned away, you know, all these stuff, you know. I mean, it's just, I mean, it says integrity in the, on the program thing. And I actually feel that I have a little bit of that, you know. I used to use that word a lot because I used to tell everybody, you ain't got no damn integrity in this damn place, you know. You don't believe, you don't do this, you don't do that, you know. I used to be a finger pointer. Now I point this way. So I got to look in here before I look out there. It's too much happening. Too fast. It's happening too fast sometimes, you know. And just like the steps, the traditions were put in place for the group to stay together, hold together, and, you know, keep on going. And, having them, I mean, I don't know. A lot of people don't work the traditions with their sponsees in the beginning. They want to do it later. I've changed that a little bit. I like to talk about it a lot more because I believe, just like the pamphlets in the room, you know, that's the first thing I do is I give them a couple pamphlets to start, you know. I want everybody to get this that needs it. And I want to keep what I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks. All right, my instructions fell on the floor over here, so. I think we have to do that successful death reading next. Okay. I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Could we please have the reading just for today at the podium?